Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington here. Speck Bayless here. Fanning here. Taking you up until 6 o'clock. You added something in the hits. I don't know what that is. You said you're putting the Royals guy in the hits. I legitimately don't know what the Royals guy is. So this is like a choose-your-own-adventure book. That's me, the number one hit.
Because you never listen to my updates.
If you guys missed it, this is Steven Spector's last week. Our boss is moving on. So now Steven Spector has become the boss.
The corporate champ now.
He is absolutely the corporate champion. So congratulations to Steven Spector. This has been a long time in the work. He's been like the second in command for a long time. He gets the bump up to number one in line. So, I mean, this actually warms my heart. If you have any complaint about this, station.
Yeah, we'll give you his email.
I'm directing
direct
you
line.
To Steven Spector. Yeah. Like, you guys complain about the app. I don't know if you know this or not. I have zero control over the app. I don't have any control over what they put on the app at all. Like, literally no control over. You know who does?
Spec.
The boss. So, if radio.com ain't working, blame Spector. If the podcast page ain't working, blame Spector. Hashtag blame Spec. If you got to complain about 610 Sports Radio, don't bring it to me.
You know what?
Don't bring it to Fanning.
You know what? If you're having a bad day, just blame Spector, and we'll give you his contact
100%.
Info.
Yeah. 100%. Congratulations to our guy, Steven Spector, though. But we got bigger fish to fry. Spec, let's get to the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
The hits are brought to you by the Broadway Deli. A mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city is now open in the Crossroads, and it's the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Well, good news. There are 53 players on the Chiefs, and all 53 were out there practicing today. But the big two, Eric Berry and Sammy Watkins, both out there, according to Andy Reid, but we'll see about Sunday.
Yeah, so they'll be out there, and we'll see what they can do. We'll just take it from there. It's not necessarily limited. They're going to be out there doing what they do. We'll just see, and then see how it goes. Both of those are day-to-day. They're kind of right on that edge of, where they just got to go out and practice, see what happens.
Andy Reid live right here on 610 Sports Radio during Show and Vern. Wednesday, the first day, in the week of game prep for the Baltimore Ravens, who come into Arrowhead on Sunday. Your best guess, Eric Berry and Sammy Watkins, both active, one active, neither active.
I'll go with Sammy Watkins playing on Sunday. I'll go with Eric Berry, no. We'll talk about it more after the hits are done. But I don't know if Eric Berry steps on the field before having a full practice. He was a limited participant today. Let's see what happens, though. Maybe tomorrow he's a full participant. Maybe Friday he's a full participant. Based on the information we have right now with him being limited, I will still continue to side with him not playing, as that's the safer bet.
Yeah, I think tomorrow we'll know more. And we had Pete Sweeney and Arrowhead Pride in here. He and Joel Thorman and the Sween Dog was one of those Chiefs propaganda reporters before he came over to Arrowhead Pride. And he made a really good point, I thought, when we talked to him. It's about Thursday and Friday. It's not about Wednesday when it comes to what they do at practice. So, very limited today. I think tomorrow and Friday we'll find out. If I had to guess now, if I'm going to take a stab at it, I'm going to say they're both active, and I've leaned towards CDOT, and I'm going to go to his side and say Eric Berry will be active and get a handful of reps against the Ravens to get him ready to go so he's nice and sharp for as sharp as he can be anyway for the Chargers game on Thursday night.
Two.
Down a level to college football 24 hours ago, Carrington was all woe is me. We can't blame him. He's a Missouri fan.
This is what I've decided with Missouri. If I always side with being negative, then I can always be pleasantly surprised when it goes well. Like, that's really my philosophy when it comes to Mizzou. Expect the worst, predict the worst, because normally the worst happens if you cheer for Missouri.
Last 24 hours have been very good to you, though. Missouri getting transfer quarterback, former Clemson quarterback Kelly Bryant, so he will be in Columbia for 1 year. And about an hour ago, an extension for Barry Odom. Here's some of the bullet points. $3.05 million guaranteed through 2024. He gets an extension if they win 9 games. Some bonuses for bowl games and buyouts. Total incentive package, $1.8 million for Barry Odom. So Barry Odom getting a nice raise. They're getting a new quarterback. pretty good 24 hours for the Missouri Tigers, one Carrington Harrison.
I mean, this year has been disappointing to some extent for Mizzou. When you think back to the game against South Carolina, they should have won that game. If you think back to the game against Kentucky, that I will always look back on the 2018 season. Like, man, what if? Like, they had opportunities to turn the season in a completely different direction. But you got to give Odom a lot of credit. You wanted him to prove it. They went out there. They won eight games. You got Kelly Bryant. And they're bringing back a lot of talent next year. I was reading an article on Power Mizzou earlier this morning, bringing back three of their five offensive linemen. Every running back under scholarship is coming back next year. And they're going to have a good receiving core. Missouri can win 10 games next year. You trade Alabama for Ole Miss. You got seven home games next year if you're Missouri. They can absolutely compete to win the SEC East next year. I can't wait.
Good for Barry Odom. He's one of those guys that you root for, but but if I'm being honest here, I didn't think it was going to work. But Barry Odom went 4-8, 7-6, and 8-4, and he's going to two bowl games in his last 2 years. And he had a hell of a win over Florida, even though they lost to Kentucky at home. But Barry Odom's a guy that you root for, Missouri guy. Terrible interview, but a good Mizzou guy that you root for to do well. So I'm happy about this for you guys. I'm happy about it for Mizzou. 10 wins? Now we're talking. I mean, does Barry Odom still blow my dress up? Not really. But if he keeps getting better and he got Kelly Bryant, then he's doing his job and he earned the extension.
I think about Barry Odom. I do think there was some disconnect between the fans and Barry Odom. I think some of that is just he's not Gary Pinkel. But nobody is Gary Pinkel. And I've been guilty of that myself, so I'm not going to make it seem like it's just other Missouri fans. I would put myself in that. This is the biggest win for Barry Odom. I would say one is this. I would say two was beating Florida earlier this year. I would say three, turning things around and making a bowl game if you're him. It has been a really good 18 months if you're Barry Odom. Let's see what happens. You got your raise. You got your assistant taken care of. You got your quarterback. Let's see if you can keep this thing sustained and catch up to Georgia, who is clearly the best team in the SEC East.
Three. I apologize. Did I cut you off?
No, you're good. I was done.
A little bit of Royals news. They have signed Chris Owings. He is 27 years old, a former first-round pick. He has played the last six seasons with the Arizona Cardinals, his 162-game average.
Diamondbacks, you mean, man? We're in NFL mode. But
what did I say?
Cardinals. Hey, you're the big boss
well,
now. You
Paul
can say
Goldschmidt
whatever you
got
want,
traded to the Cardinals,
yeah.
So I confused my Arizona team. But yes, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hold on, Spec. We're putting guys in the hits who hit 206 with four home runs last year in 106 games.
He had a down 2018.
It was terrible.
250, nine home runs, 55 RBIs over 162-game span. But maybe most importantly, a lot of games at shortstop, a lot of games at second base, and a lot of games in the outfield.
They
Chris
love
Owings
weak hitting shortstops
played all over the diamond for the Arizona Diamondbacks, thank you, Brad Fanning, over the last six seasons. So another utility guy coming in for the Kansas City Royals this offseason.
From looking at Pro Baseball Reference, there seems to be one very simple question for Chris Owings. Are you 2017 or 2018? In 2017, he hit 12 home runs, 51 RBIs, hit 268. You would take that. Are you 2018? Four home runs, 22 RBIs, hit 206, and you played in more games. So it wasn't you only played in 52 games in this one. You played more games than you did in 2017. You didn't hit for power, didn't hit for average, didn't get on base. You just did not have a good season. Which one is it? He's 27 years old. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's a one-year deal, I think, guaranteed for $3 million. I look at it. I'm not looking at the numbers so much on that CDOT. I get what you're saying on that. I think they got him for a couple of different reasons, if I'm reading this correctly. I think Nicky Lopez, guy in the minors for the Royals, is probably going to be their second baseman. I don't think they want to bring him up this year. From everything I've read, they're not going to bring him up. They don't want to get his service clock going, so they need a guy for a year. You've got Whit Merrifield at second base. You've got Alberto Mondesi at short. And you could bounce this guy around in the outfield. He's played mostly in center and right field, but the majority of his positions are in the middle infield. So you can move him around a little bit. And here's the one that I'm going to throw out there for you guys. If you get the perfect opportunity to move a guy like Whit Merrifield, you've got somebody that you can plug in at second base.
This guy?
To get you by until you get to your guys that are ready to come up to the big leagues. Now, I'm not saying that's the unlikeliest of situations, but I think you got a guy that you can move around. You got a guy you can move around to a bunch of different positions. You can play him at second base if you want.
He seems like fake Whit Merrifield.
Well, I mean, if you talk to Whit Merrifield wants to play center field. And that's what he did in college. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be a center fielder. And if Brett Phillips doesn't hit, I think there's a decent chance you see him out there. A hell of a lot more. And if that's the case, then you've got a guy that you can plug in at second base with a guy like Chris Owings. Is this some signing that's going to make you go crazy and go out and buy a bunch of gear and paint your face blue and camp out at Kauffman right now? No. But you need guys like this. So I think it's a one-year deal for $3 million, and who knows, maybe you can flip him at the break, even if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know if the guy's any good or not. Guy hit 206 last year with four home runs. He just, you know, he has some versatility. He can do some different things. I mean, see a little bit more.
Well, I know, but I mean, what do you expect from him? And that's the thing. I mean, I think the Royals have basically, they've told us what they're trying to do. They're trying to cut payroll and trying to rebuild. This is a bridge guy. That's essentially what he is.
Are they trying to win, you think?
I think they're going to try to win as much as they possibly can, but I think it's about a development at the major league level, too. You've got to rebuild. You've got to develop.
That sounds like
these
a long
guys.
Way of saying no.
Well, I think they're trying to win, absolutely. But if you don't want to start the major league service clock on a guy like Nicky Lopez or one of those guys, he's a perfect guy. You can plug him in at multiple positions. You know, and
former first round pick, too.
Yeah. And I mean, if you get a chance, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if you get a sweetheart of a deal for Whit Merrifield, this guy can get you by. So I think that's kind of what they're looking at. Who knows? Maybe they see Whit as a guy that they want to plug into center field because Whit loves being out there, and he's a damn good center fielder, but they've had to use him at second base. Because Brett Phillips, if he doesn't start hitting, they're going to have to do something out there.
I want to play this for you. We played it during the hits. I'll play it for you again if you're just tuning in. Andy Reid commented today, everybody on the Chiefs 53-man roster practiced today for the Kansas City Chiefs. That includes Eric Berry and Sammy Watkins. Here's what Reid had to say.
Yeah, so they'll be out there, and we'll see what they can do. And we'll just take it from there. It's not necessarily limited. They're going to be out there doing what they do. We'll just see, and then see how it goes. Both of those are day to day. They're kind of right on that edge of where they just got to go out and practice, see what happens.
So that was the first thing Andy Reid had to say, and like most of us, Eric Berry is literally day-to-day.
Yeah, I think he'll get out there and move around, and literally day-to-day. So he'll be in there running around. We'll see how he does. Nobody knows better than the player on how they feel. And when you have a guy like that you know loves to play, you don't even worry about it. You go off of what he's saying, and what the docs obviously say.
So I don't know when Eric Berry's going to play. To be completely honest, I don't think any of us know when Eric Berry is going to play. I do think that you can put some things together and come to this conclusion. Eric Berry is going to play for the Kansas City Chiefs in the next 10 days. He's either playing Sunday or he's playing next Thursday, barring a severe step back. I think the Chiefs have been pushing in the direction of Eric Berry coming back sooner rather than later. They took a lot of time to get Eric Berry back on the field. I think we all know that. But now it's go time. You got four games to go if you're the Kansas City Chiefs in the regular season. And we agree he has to play some in the regular season.
Yeah.
He's not showing up week 17 and playing one game. So it's do you play four games or three games in my mind? I don't think they have him practice for the next 3 weeks and then he shows up for the game on the road Sunday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks, the game maybe you need to win to stay ahead of the New England Patriots. So I think it's going to be in the next 9 to 10 days whether Eric Berry comes or not. I said in the hits, I don't think Eric Berry practices before he is a full participant or plays before he's a full participant in practice. Maybe tomorrow he participates in full. If that's the case, then I think they are telling you that Eric Berry is going to play on Sunday. Maybe they announce on Friday he's going to play. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think either he is a full participant in practice and it's just understood that Eric Berry is going to practice, or he is some game time decision and on Sunday we wake up and then Chris Mortensen says that Eric Berry is going to play today, or Ian Rappaport says he's going to play today. That's how I think we find out if Eric Berry is going to play. I just don't think you go from limited participant to them then putting you on the field for your first time this season to play 25 snaps.
I mean, if I had to guess, I think the plan was let's get him practicing, let's get him ready to roll, and if he's ready to go, we put him in the Ravens game for a limited amount of time, and then we have him fully ready to go for the Charger game. Because you can't bring him back and then only give him, what, 2 days of practice to get ready for the Chargers, if you're going to do it in that game. I think the Chiefs' perfect plan is to get him some time against the Ravens. Get him some time against the Ravens, and then it comes down to the Charger game that's probably going to decide the division. And that's when you're ready to go. And that seems like a smart plan to me. But again, until he's a full participant in practice. Now, it would be one thing if Eric Berry had been playing. He's listed as limited. He's got a little something here. He's got a little something there. This guy hadn't played in a game, you know, since week one last year. So you got to be a little bit careful with this. I don't think the Chiefs know. I think you could put a plan in place, but it doesn't mean you're going to stick to that plan. I am with you. Like, I think the goal is to get him at his peak when the playoffs are ready to go. That's it. And if that means playing him for a little bit against the Ravens, you do it. If that means playing him for a full game against the Chargers, you do it. And then you got 10 days off to get ready for that Sunday night game against the Seahawks.
I mean, I understand why they're being cautious when it comes to Eric Berry. I mean, for the most part, you might disagree with how they've handled the roster. It appears to me that they've had a plan all season when it comes to how to use Eric Berry. He came back the first Wednesday after the bye week. He's practiced the last 2 weeks. Again, I think it's very safe to say that Eric Berry is going to play in the next 2 games for the Kansas City Chiefs and try to get ready for the postseason. I want to ask you guys this question when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, because as long as I've been following football, there's a belief that come December, you need to run the ball effectively. You need to play great defense, and those are the teams that win. You know, the defense wins championships. You got to win the battle of the line of scrimmage. You got to be a good, effective running team. You got to be balanced. You guys know all the things that football coaches and teams have told us over the last 30 years. Are we sure the Chiefs are that kind of team? Because if I'm making the list of teams I believe are Super Bowl contenders out of the AFC, I don't believe in Houston the way you do, but I don't want to argue about Houston. New England, a better running game or a team than the Kansas City Chiefs. They were, even when the Chiefs had Kareem Hunt, you certainly think they're going to be with the Chiefs without Kareem Hunt. We agree the Pittsburgh Steelers with James Conner, a better running team than the Kansas City Chiefs. The Los Angeles Chargers with Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, better running teams than the Kansas City Chiefs. And all those teams are better defensively than the Kansas City Chiefs. Does that mean anything to us, or do we think that 2018 is so dynamic offensively that the how you want to be great in the NFL has changed so much that we can disregard the fact that the Chiefs, among Super Bowl contenders, have become the worst rushing team, and defensively, I would say, amongst teams that can win the Super Bowl, they're the worst defensive team amongst Super Bowl contenders?
I think if it was 10 years ago, it would matter big time. Now it doesn't. The top-scoring team 10 years ago was the New Orleans Saints, and they averaged 29 a game. It was 28.9, excuse me. Right now, there are three teams that are averaging more than 30 points a game. The Chiefs are averaging 37 a game. So I think if, let's say you're the New England Patriots, or maybe that's a bad example, but you're another team that loses your best running back and a guy that's a potential all-pro like Kareem Hunt, I think it probably matters. I think with the Chiefs, when you have the best tight end in football and you have the fastest man in football and you have top three, maybe the best quarterback in the NFL, I don't think it matters as much. I don't, because, I mean, I've said all the majority this year that, and I said this earlier, now I'm like, I don't know if that's a way to beat the Chiefs or not. If you want to try to eat clock and run the football and beat the Chiefs, they can still score on you in 8 seconds. Now, if the Chiefs lost Tyreek Hill, okay, change my opinion. But they didn't. They still got Tyreek. They got Travis Kelce. I still think Sammy Watkins is going to have a big game at some point down the stretch. Chris Conley's really emerged. DeMarcus Robinson has been good. The Chiefs have enough weapons to survive the loss of Kareem Hunt and not having a dominant running game. That being said, they still ran for .174 against the Raiders last week. I know it's the Raiders. I get it. But they still ran for 174 yards, even though he used 4 guys to do it. So the more I think about this and the more I chew on this, I'm not as worried about it, because offense right now is different than it was a decade ago. And defense and the things you can do is different as well. The rules have changed. You can't hit anybody. You got to be careful. And offenses are just wide open. It's the year of the offense. So, no, I'm not overly concerned about it the more I think about it.
I bring it up because of all the teams that we would consider legitimate Super Bowl contenders, I would say all of them get an A if we're rating their ability to run the football. And sure, the Chiefs were in that category. Mm-hmm. When they had Kareem Hunt, they were at the same level of Todd Gurley with the Los Angeles Rams. They were at the same category of Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram with the New Orleans Saints.
Yep.
You can't put them in that category now. You went from having a top three running back in the NFL to Spencer Ware and now doing it running back by committee. And I question with this offense, I guess question's wrong because I still think they're going to be able to score points, sure, is – when I look at what we normally believe you need going into the postseason, all of these teams we're talking about have good quarterback play. Now, you have better quarterback play than them. New Orleans has a good quarterback. Pittsburgh has a good quarterback. Chargers have a good quarterback. All those teams run the ball better than you do now. All those teams play better defense than you do now. Everybody seems to think that doesn't matter when it comes to this team. That I look at, I would say, if we had to make a ranking of the Chiefs' biggest plays of the season, I'm not talking like ooh and I'll play. I mean like importance on the season. I would say one of their biggest plays and top three biggest plays was made by Kareem Hunt this year. It wasn't even a running play. You remember that long touchdown pass against the New England Patriots. Chiefs looked dead in the water. Mahomes didn't look very sharp. Second half was coming out. You're on the road. Chiefs don't score on that possession, it was going to be a completely different day for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs maybe get blown out in that game.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt has that long touchdown, 80-yard touchdown catch. Mahomes is fired up. Chiefs offense is on a roll. They didn't look back once the entire rest of the game. Man, you're losing 5% of your offense, 10% of your offense. Who knows what you get from Sammy Watkins, his health on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. You're just starting to peel off flowers or petals from the Chiefs' offensive flowers. While the other teams in the AFC, they're not doing the same thing with their offense.
Yeah, but I think the difference is, and I'm with you. Like, I don't want to lose Kareem Hunt. I don't think any Chiefs fan out there wants to lose a guy that's that productive and that good. And let's not forget that Mahomes missed Hunt early in the game, too, which could have changed, you know, what happened in that first half and eventually the outcome of that game. Kareem Hunt was a difference maker. Even when they decided not to focus the game plan around him, he was still the hammer at the end of the game sometimes, where they closed it out. He was the dude that went in there and did it. Let's go back to, like, something that Brad Pitt said in the movie Moneyball. He's like, how do we replace 32 home runs, whatever batting average, blah, 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 blah. And instead of going out and getting one person to do that, I think the Chiefs are going to have to rely on three or four to do it. So if you get all the same things from four guys that you got out of one guy, then it's basically the same. And I think the Chiefs can do that. Is Spencer Ware as dynamic as Kareem Hunt? Absolutely not. Can Charcandrick West do some of the things that Kareem Hunt could do? Yeah, some, but he's not him. He's not near as good as him. Damian Williams, no. Not, those guys, they can't do it. But if you can replace it with three to four guys and at least mask it a little bit and get up to, what, 80, 90% of what Kareem could do, and you use four guys to do it, maybe depend on Tyreek a little bit more. Sammy, I'll be curious to see what Andy Reid does if Sammy Watkins gets on the field and how they use him. Remember, Sammy had three or four really long runs rushing this year. So I think there's ways to get around it because the Chiefs are still so loaded offensively.
Text line 69306. I don't think the jury's out yet on if we're going to be a worse rushing team or not. Let's give it three games, C-Dot, then talk for real stats. I don't know what world you guys are living in. I'm living in the fact the Chiefs just lost the third best running back in the NFL, and it's going to have a severe effect on their offense, at least how it changes some capacity. Do I think the Chiefs can get by without Kareem Hunt? Yes. But to act like this team is now going to be improved without Kareem Hunt and now
it's
having...
Yeah, it's not
going to
get better.
And then when
it's not going to get
better. When you had the option of Kareem Hunt plus Spencer Ware and plus all these other options, you remove Kareem Hunt from that, and now Spencer Ware, Damian Williams, and Darrell Williams are going to equal the production you got from a guy who, since he's come in the NFL, no running back in the NFL has rushed for more yards than him? No, their offense is going to change without having him.
Yeah, it's going to change, but I think of all the guys that they have, I think that's the one that you can survive without. We talk about that. It's a passing league. I mean, I was on, I think it was it FoxSports.com, and I went to multiple websites to find out who ranked in terms of, like, positions, their rankings of importance. Running back was, like, 10th. You know, you've got corner, you've got edge rusher, you've got quarterback, you got receiver. You got all that. You got tackle. You got all that stuff ahead of running back. The NFL, it sucks that Kareem Hunt's not going to be there because he was dynamic and he was a game changer, without a doubt. But man, when you got Mahomes, Kelce Hill, Conley, Robinson, Sammy Watkins, you can take this hit. Like you're it's not a knockout blow. I mean, it's a body blow, but it's not a knockout blow. You can still fight. You know, so I don't know how it's gonna turn out, but I don't think it's a killer to the season at all. Now, if you still had Alex Smith, okay, yeah, you're probably. That, I mean, that sucks, but you don't. You got a quarterback that we talked about already this today, like two or three times, that is potentially having the best statistical year any quarterback's ever had. So the Chiefs can take it. Again, not a knockout. It's just a body blow.
I want to play this for you. This is Matt Miller. We had him on the show earlier today. We were talking about Lamar Jackson. You obviously know how he is as a runner. Let's look at him as a passer.
That's spotty, really spotty. You know, watching him last year, there were so many times where if he had to throw outside the hashes, and then the college game is a little bit different, but anytime he had to go outside the hashes, you know, it was high, it was incomplete, you know, mechanically. Because he has such a strong arm and he is a wrist thrower, he just flicks that wrist. He's not super accurate. He doesn't drive the ball to his targets. Now, if you give him room to operate in space, he is going to scramble around, which will cause safeties to pull off their guys a little bit and drift toward him as a runner. And he can find the open man. He has very good arm strength to do that. But just is he going to, like Baker Mayfield, is he going to play from within the pocket and throw strikes across the middle? Probably not. That's just not his game. But he brings an electric side of it when he does get loose and is able to run and make plays out of the pocket, especially going to his right. He's incredibly dangerous. But we've seen all season long when he has had to play, like, he's not doing well. I mean, he's getting hit a bunch. He's not completing a high percentage of his passes. He's throwing the ball away. And he knows he's fast, and he's going to try to make some of those amazing plays in the backfield, excuse me. And if the pass rush is on point, they're going to be able to not only sack him, but really flip the field with some of the losses he'll take.
I don't want anyone to think that I am picking the Ravens to come into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are the second-best team in the NFL behind the New Orleans Saints. I think the Ravens are a decent team. Maybe they'll make the playoffs, but I don't think they're close to the caliber of team that the Kansas City Chiefs are. Chiefs are at home, Super Bowl contender. You got to take care of business at home against a lesser opponent. But I think if you asked, aside from the best teams in the NFL that we've seen beat the Chiefs, the Patriots and the Rams, two of the five best teams in the NFL, I think if you had to create a scenario of a team in the same tier or category, the one that the Ravens are, a team like the Ravens would be the one that would give you the most problem. Ball control, especially if they have Lamar Jackson. A team that's going to run the ball 30, 35 times. A team that can play good defense. A team that maybe you don't score 40 against them, you score 31. Is that enough? Or if we're talking about an offense that can keep Mahomes on the sideline, a team that could rattle off an 11-play, 80-yard drive, take off 7 minutes of time of clock or time of possession, it would be a team like the Baltimore Ravens. I don't want people to think this is just an easy game because it's at home and you're better than the Ravens. Like, the Ravens do some things that match up against the Chiefs' weaknesses. They run the ball really effectively. The Chiefs' run defense isn't very good. The Ravens have the best defense in the AFC. Now, that doesn't really say a whole lot.
They're the best defense in the league.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't a lot of good defensive teams in the NFL, and we've seen that how good the other team's defense is doesn't seem to matter for the Kansas City Chiefs, but if there's any team that can muddy it up with the Kansas City Chiefs, it would be a team like Baltimore.
But I think their weaknesses play to the Chiefs, too. I mean, Matt Miller was talking about he's not a very accurate passer. He's spotty at best. What's the Chiefs' biggest weakness? Secondary. You know, I mean, that's a good matchup. They're not going to throw it much, and when they do, Lamar Jackson is going to complete less than 60% of his passes. I like that matchup. Matt talked about, you know, how when you get to Lamar Jackson, it affects him. The Chiefs are second in the league in sacks. So if you get to Lamar Jackson, force him to throw, I like the Chiefs' chances in this game. And eventually, he's going to have to throw. You can't just go Tim Tebow, throw it two times, and beat the Chiefs. That's not how it's going to work in this game. So I do like the Chiefs' chances in this game. I think the Chiefs' strengths, and even you got weakness on weakness when it goes secondary in the passing game. You've got strength on weakness when it comes to getting to the quarterback and affecting him when you can hit him. I like that part of it. And I don't think the Ravens can hang with him offensively. And so I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. But I'm with you. It's a very good defensive team. I think it's a great test for this Chiefs team without Kareem Hunt. We're going to find out a lot about him, but I don't think they can muddy it up enough to beat the Chiefs.
I'm with you. I don't think that the Ravens can keep up offensively with the Chiefs either. But the Ravens are similar to the Broncos. Like, I'm with you. The Broncos can't keep up with the Chiefs offensively, and they know that. But the Broncos found a way to muddy the game up and limit Mahomes to the fact of Mahomes didn't have great days against either of them.
Yeah.
We agree the Ravens are a team that's very similar. Firepower-wise, the Broncos have no chance of being in a game with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But they play a style that they force the Chiefs to play, that kind of style. The Rams, hey, we're happy to get into a shootout with you. Our offense can go point for point with yours. The Patriots, hey, we're happy to get into a shootout with you. That's not how the Broncos can beat you. That's not how the Ravens can beat you. They can beat you running the ball 35 times and playing really good defense.
And the Chiefs have beaten the Broncos twice, too. So, I mean, that's another reason why I feel good about it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say of all the teams in the NFL that have done the best against Mahomes, it's been the Broncos.
Yeah.
And I would say not many teams have the pieces to do defensively to Mahomes what the Broncos can. The Ravens are one of the teams that can. Good defensive line, good secondary, well coached, good defense. They can get pressure. The Ravens have one of the three best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, but if we're going to compare it to the Broncos, then I like that comparison because the Chiefs will win that game every time almost.
Coming up in just a minute. Mahomes is putting together arguably the greatest season a quarterback has ever had in the history of the NFL. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive. Back in on The Drive, I want to read this text really quickly, and we'll talk about Patrick Mahomes. CDOT, Hunt is more replaceable than you're portraying. Playing in Reed's offense made him more productive than he would have been otherwise. I think the Chiefs can overcome not having Kareem Hunt. I'm asking the question because I think part of the reason why the Chiefs' offense is so successful is they can hit you with more weapons than any other team in the NFL. Like, I think the Rams have a good offense, but you like the Chiefs' parts more than them. like the whole of their parts, yeah. when they were operating at full capacity, they had more parts than them. You have now permanently removed one of those parts. So I think the Chiefs can make up 90% of what they lost with Kareem Hunt. I think that Reed's good enough. I think the other players on the team. But you agree, you lower their ceiling offensively just a bit. And maybe this comes from just a fundamental, I don't believe in their defense as much.
Yeah.
Like, I think this team's going to have to score 35 points a game, 38 points a game. It just got somewhat harder. Now we'll see if guys can pick up the slack. I don't know if you can get much more out of the quarterback position. Mahomes could have the best quarterback season from a numbers perspective we've ever seen. I don't know if you're getting much more out of Tyreek Hill. He's been amazing this year. I don't know if you're getting much more out of Travis Kelce. Man, the numbers got to come from somewhere else for you to be able to continue this incredible offensive output that you've put out there. If we think it's coming from Spencer Ware, Damian Williams, Darrell Williams, and all that, I think you can get like 85% of what you got. It's got to come from somebody else. So it's either coming from Chris Conley that he's got to give you a little bit more. It's come from Sammy Watkins. It's come from Demetrius Harris. Like some, like that next man up mentality. Yeah. Someone has to pick up the slack. Who do we think it is?
It's Sammy time. I think it's Sammy Watkins time. That's what I think. I mean, I think we've seen when Sammy Watkins is healthy and they throw him the football, he's damn good. You know, he's had a couple of rushing attempts, and he's had some big runs on and doing that. And if he is healthy, to me, it's Sammy time. That's where you come from. And then you can take even more of the load off of guys like Charcandrick West and Spencer Ware and all that other stuff. So, I mean, you can do that. So, for me, if Sammy Watkins' foot is ready to go and he's ready to play against the Ravens, this is why you got him. This is why you paid him. You wanted to oversaturate your offense with enough weapons to be able to overwhelm your opponent. Now it's time for Sammy to do his thing. Now it's time for Sammy to be a focus of this. And I said before, and it's a little bit of a conspiracy theory, and I get it, you know, but, you know, we all were like, man, they added Sammy Watkins, and they already have Conley and Robinson, and they've got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt. Why would they give a guy $14 million and Sammy Watkins to come here? Maybe they knew something we didn't. Because they signed him after they knew about the stuff with Kareem Hunt. Maybe that's why. And if that's the case, or at least part of the reason, now it's time for Sammy to earn that money.
I mean, or it's possible they were trying to create what they actually created. Like, they were trying to have more weapons than any other team in the NFL. Like, that's what the Chiefs had. When they had everybody fully healthy, they had more skilled and talented offensive players than any team in the NFL. You permanently lost one of them. That means the expectation is on other guys, and you can't afford another injury. You can't afford now Sammy Watkins, and now how you defend the Chiefs, what you do against the Chiefs is completely differently. I just think if we're talking about when the Chiefs against the Steelers, per se, were 100%, man, you knocked some percentage off. Now you're 90%. Now 90% for the Chiefs' offense is good enough because their offense is one of the top five in the history of the NFL. So I think they can overcome not having Kareem Hunt between now and the end of the season, and he's not coming back at all. I was thinking this when you talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. We're talking all time, and you expect we're having this conversation. If we're talking in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs, they are having the best quarterback season they've ever had before. I'm not saying Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time, but 2018 Patrick Mahomes is the best Chiefs quarterback they've ever had. I would say Tyreek Hill is putting together a better wide receiver season than any wide receiver in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. Travis Kelce is trending in a direction where if he has 260 more yards between now and the end of the season, he will have more receiving yards than any tight end in the history of the NFL. So 2018 Travis Kelce is better than any year tight end the Chiefs have ever had. And then if you look at pass rush-wise, you're going to get very, very close to the sack number that Derek Thomas and Neil Smith had when they were at their heyday. You want to talk about guys that are playing the best any player in Chiefs history has ever played? Man, you've got four or five guys playing at that level right now on the team.
Yeah, you do. You do. And I think that's the fun part about it. We were kicking this around, too, a little bit. Like, who would you take? Because, you know, I caused a big stir yesterday when I said I would take Travis Kelce over Tony Gonzalez. You still got the hot take horn going for that. Can I talk now, Speck? You're going to do it again? You're going to hit me with a horn again? Okay, cool. So, anyway, see how it was coming. How many guys on this team would you take over some of the Chiefs' greats? I mean, I think it's a fair question to ask. Mahomes, for sure. I mean, he's on there. Kelce, for me, I would take him. Tyreek Hill is a better receiver than the Chiefs have ever had than Tyreek Hill, a more explosive receiver. And it ain't a long list of great guys that they really have. You know, yeah, these guys are having some of the best years we've ever seen. For me, it comes down to this. I don't care what if Mahomes puts up the best statistical year in the history of quarterbacks in the league, if the Chiefs get bounced after getting the one seed and having a bye week. I don't care about any of that. All right? The list of and we've been through this a million times on this show about the losses and the losses and the losses and the losses. One freaking playoff win since 1993. That's it. So stats are fine. If you're the Patriots and you've gone to 8 Super Bowls and won 5 of them in the last, what, 17 years? Great. Let's put that pelt on the wall about, Patrick Mahomes having the greatest statistical year of any quarterback in NFL history. Neat. It's great. We can talk about it, remember it, even if you don't win the Super Bowl. For me, I don't care. Throw 7 touchdown passes and go to the Super Bowl. To me, I don't care about any of these stats unless the Chiefs get to the AFC title game. I'm over stats. I'm over regular season stuff. I'm over it. All right? I want wins in January, period. I don't – like, the stat thing is great, and we can talk about it years from now, maybe, but I want wins in January.
I don't think anyone disagrees with that. Why I think it's maybe a little bit short-sighted when it comes to Patrick Mahomes of – Mahomes is doing not just Chiefs records. We're not talking of like last year. Like last year with Alex Smith, we were like, whenever Alex Smith, remember, you, Speck, I know you remember. Whenever Alex Smith threw for 4,000 yards, we were like, stopping the presses. See, I told you guys. Come on now. Like 4,000 yards is not an abnormal thing in the NFL. It's been done like 90-something times in the history of the league. Like Patrick Mahomes has a chance to do something that only Tom Brady and Peyton Manning have done. He has a chance to 50 touchdown passes in his first year as a starter. So I don't think it's necessarily the caring about the one individual season, even though you were watching a great player at the perfect time. Like, it's the perfect talent, the perfect coach, the perfect situation, the perfect year to put up those kind of numbers and watching the consistent greatness. To me, it's much more of the, if your quarterback can do this in his first year, what can he do in his third year? What can he do in his fourth year? And I look at the quarterbacks who we think have ever shown this ability. Like, of all the great quarterbacks you saw and you looked and you said, I think that quarterback can be great, 95% of them eventually broke through. Now, I'm not saying there's not a Phillip Rivers. I'm not saying there's not a Dan Marino who I feel like we make it seem like Marino, that he never even went to a Super Bowl. But every great quarterback eventually goes through. Like, if you think Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers, if you think Patrick Mahomes has a chance to be an all-time great, then they eventually break through. Maybe it's not 2018, but at some point the Chiefs will go to an AFC Championship game and probably a Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback.
Maybe put it this way. Would you rather have somebody on the Royals hit 78 bombs and then the Royals don't go to the World Series? Because for me, I wouldn't. I don't want a great individual seasons are fine, but I want the Royals to win it all. Speck, do we have the breaking news thing? I don't read some. There's some news from the Kansas City Star about the Kareem Hunt thing. This was just tweeted out by sports editor Jeff Rosen at the Kansas City Star. He says the story is coming soon, but this is according to Jeff Rosen, the Kansas City Star. Cleveland PD now says someone in its office did give the NFL records of then-Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt incident at the hotel in February without going through the proper channels, and an internal review of their own procedures on records request is underway. I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds like somebody in Cleveland screwed this up. So, again, Cleveland Police Department now says someone in its office did give the NFL records of then-Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt's incident at the hotel in February without going through the proper channels. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if that has anything to do with the video portion of this deal. I have no idea what this means, but the Kansas City Star is tweeting this right now.
I think that we're kind of going and spinning in circles when it comes to this.
You think the Star's fishing a little bit for an update on this deal?
The NFL knew. I feel like everybody right now in the media is trying to find evidence that the NFL knew. The NFL is a $1 billion business, a $1 billion business. And you say all the time, what about the stuff we don't know?
Yeah, which is 97%
of it. There's no way the Chiefs didn't know. There's no way that the NFL didn't know. Or they either didn't know or they didn't want to know, which to me is the same. Either the Chiefs or TMZ saw the video, or they did everything in their power to avoid seeing the video. So they didn't properly investigate it. Those are the only two options.
Here's the update. So this is from the Cleveland Police Department, the description and the update of what exactly happened. It says, following an internal review, it has been determined that in February 2018, a member of the Cleveland Division of Police provided a copy of the police report involving the February 10th assault incident at the 9, which is the hotel, to a representative from the National Football League. The report did not go through the official public records request process. So they're conducting an internal investigation. The only thing I really care about when it comes to this thing, if somebody didn't go through the proper request, I want to know if the video was out there. That's all I care about when it comes down to this. If this thing involves the video, then you got my attention on this. If not, no big deal.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll play for you what Rich Gannon had to say about stopping Lamar Jackson. We'll see if he goes for the Ravens on Sunday? Because he certainly would seem to pose a big matchup problem for the Kansas City Chiefs. Rich Gannon coming up. It's The Drive. Back in on The Drive. Earlier today, we had Rich Gannon on the show. This is what he said about stopping Lamar Jackson.
I think sometimes when you have a mobile quarterback, it's better to rush five and not four or three. Because if you just rush three or four, there's too many lanes. So if you can rush five, that makes it a little bit more difficult for the quarterback to have a running lane. I just think that's what you do with Lamar Jackson. I mean, force this guy to sit in there and throw the football from the pocket accurately. He's not really a pocket passer. He struggles in that regard. He'll turn the football over. He locks in on a primary receiver, doesn't really get through his progression. And so unlike Patrick Mahomes, who does have some mobility and escapability and those type of things, he's more apt to sit in there and find the open receiver and throw the ball on the move, whereas Lamar Jackson is really, once he feels a little bit of pressure, he's looking to pull the ball down and run.
So that was Rich Gannon earlier today on Lamar Jackson. Spector and I looked this up today. The last rookie quarterback to win at Arrowhead was Andrew Luck back in 2012. So it's been a while since a young quarterback came in and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I kind of feel similar to this game that I did with the Jacksonville game. If the Ravens are going to try to turn this into a track meet and run up and down the field with the Kansas City Chiefs and think you're going to score 35 points against them and think it's going to be one of those kind of games, man, you got no chance of beating the Chiefs. I expect the Chiefs fans to be pretty energized in this game. The Chiefs offense is going to do what the Chiefs offense does. They're scoring 35 points, and that's not how you beat the Chiefs, especially if this team can keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket, if he's the quarterback that ends up going. I actually think he's the worst matchup for him. If it's Joe Flacco in this one, like, he just doesn't provide a lot of different matchup problems for you. Like, you can defend Joe Flacco. Lamar Jackson just poses a different kind of matchup threat for this team.
And we may see Joe Flacco in this game, and he was back at practice today. John Harbaugh was quoted as saying, and I think he told this to the Baltimore Sun today, we're just kind of taking it as we go. He's got a hip injury. He said he doesn't anticipate it being a whole participant at the practice, but they're going to ramp it up from last week. So I think there is a legitimate chance that Flacco goes.
If I was the Chiefs defense, I would be thrilled to see Joe Flacco. He's not mobile at all. He's banged up. He's a statue back there. You can get pressure on him. Like, he would kind of play into your strengths with this. Lamar Jackson, you haven't gone up against a quarterback with his speed, with his versatility, and that can run around the way that he does. That would really put pressure on your run defense and force you to defend him differently than you defended any quarterback this year. Not like Lamar Jackson is Michael Vick all of a sudden, but he would provide a different kind of matchup problem. Joe Flacco is just a bad version of good quarterbacks you played earlier this season.
Yeah, but the other part of that, though, Lamar Jackson he's not a very good passer. I think he's completing, 57% of his passes for the secondary that the Chiefs had. I want a guy that's not very accurate. I don't want Joe Flacco back there picking him apart. What if the Chiefs don't get to him? And granted, they have. I mean, number two in the league in sacks. You got Dee Ford in Houston and Chris Jones. So I think it's kind of a win-win for the Chiefs defense either way. I mean, it doesn't matter who the quarterback's going to be. They're going to try to run the football. You know, if it's Flacco or if it's Lamar Jackson, I think they're going to make the run, obviously, a priority because the Chiefs have a tough time stopping the run. If it's a passer, give me Lamar Jackson. Give me a rookie. Give me a guy that's not that accurate. I think they have a better shot.
I mean, Flacco's only completing 61% of his passes for a guy that just doesn't provide any mobility. Like, I mean, Flacco's just a shell of himself. This is 2014 Joe Flacco you're looking at. Like, he's the definition of got paid and quit trying. Like, yeah. Flacco has been a bad quarterback since he got that contract, Flacco has been batted. If they're playing Flacco, you're basically playing dark-haired Andy Dalton this weekend at home. I would feel really good about the chance that that's who you're going to because Flacco is bad. Flacco's one of the seven worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, he's not good. He's not good right now. I like the Chiefs' chances either way. It doesn't matter who they run out there.
I want to ask you guys a question.
He's one of the seven worst.
Yeah, he's bad.
One of the seven worst.
One of the seven starting quarterbacks in the NFL?
I know, that's a stretch.
Who, Flacco?
They are. I mean, I know Lamar's won the last three, but they are 7-5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they are 7-5.
I mean, I would say because of their defense. I think Flacco's bad. Can you guys imagine being excited about fake football? Like, can you imagine being a city and today a league that's not going to be in existence for longer than 24 months comes out here and they announce that they're making all these moves and then they name some of the cities? Can you imagine sitting on the edge of your seat hoping that they call your name, that you're so desperate for football that you would take the XFL? This isn't 2002. I remember being excited as a youth about the XFL. Oh, it was going to be like NFL blitz and playmakers come to real life. Oh, a younger C-Dot was happy about the XFL. Can you imagine being happy about the XFL? Because that's what St. Louis is. I'm going back to some of my college friends and people I knew that grew up in St. Louis, and they're talking about how football's back and pro football's back, and they can't wait to watch football. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Spectre, they have an over-under on how long the XFL lasts in Vegas.
3 weeks.
Seriously, what is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, 2 years maybe? 3 years?
They're taking this time. Their time this year, yeah, or this time around, I should say.
I don't think it's going to matter, dude. I mean, what's the end goal for the XFL? How many teams?
To lose money. That's what the end goal is.
How many teams do they have?
Money.
They have eight right now. Eight cities.
So do you think Vince McMahon's trying to pull the old AFL thing? He's going to try to get this thing up and running and merge with the NFL? That's his goal?
That's not happening, though.
Yeah, like, they're not going to add. They're not going to have 40 teams in the NFL.
I mean, they have eight. They have eight teams. Like, it's an old NES football game. Eight teams.
That's a softball
this
league.
This is a terrible idea.
We got eight teams in my old man baseball league.
This thing, yeah. They're going to play a season. No way they get to the second season. They're going to lose a lot of money. We're going to mock them. A second class city deserves second class football. If you have Emo's Pizza and that's your claim to fame, you deserve to have the St. Louis Ramblers represent you as a football team.
Is that
team.
What they are, the Ramblers?
I just made that up off the top of my head. Just absolutely.
I thought they were the St. Louis VD.
Absolutely disgusting if you were the St. Louis football team. Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com. Also available on iTunes. Do us a favor. Download the radio.com app. Bink and Knight coming up next. This might be our last show with Steven Spector. Salute to you, my brother. We out of here, man.
Thanks, Steve.